You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for October 30th, 2015. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the battle bridge of the all-powerful liberal mainstream media, it's The Professional Left with Driftglass and Blue Gal.
Yeah, that's where we live.
Yeah, that's pretty much our
We're so time. Powerful.
Yeah, if you, next time you watch Joe Scarborough, and if you actually watch Joe Scarborough, I don't really want to know you, but next time you watch Joe Scarborough or you watch anything on CNN or anything on NPR, or if you watch the interview with PBS on the Brooks and Shields crap that they have on Fridays, you will notice I will do a split screen of me calling them and telling them what to say. And you'll hear my words being it's like wag the dog almost.
Yeah.
Anytime we call them, they take
our
calls.
They repeat word for word what we want them to say because we're so powerful. We're the liberal media, you know.
Yeah, but we have to keep it secret because it isn't as scary if you're out and about with it. If we just, you know, are sitting on stage giving stage direction. So we have to secretly control the mainstream media.
And then, you know what we get? We get that big honking check from the Hillary Clinton super PAC.
Yeah.
You know, because they pay us to think for them. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, we get checks from everybody.
No, we don't.
Bill O'Reilly only does half of what I say. Because as Chris Matthews reminded everyone, that Bill O is right down the middle.
Right down the
middle? Bill O'Reilly is right in the center.
It's so sad, though, Driftglass. This is starting to not be funny.
Oh, it was not funny a long time ago. This is all gallows humor.
But this waiting, this blaming the media and the moderators and the coverage and the times and the green rooms and the on and on and on.
Yep.
They're toddlers.
Yep.
And their behavior, I mean, this is kind of going to be a psychological episode of our podcast.
Yeah.
Because we're going to talk about cognitive distortions today. Just brace yourself.
So imagine us both in turtlenecks, sitting in beanbag chairs, smoking. I have a goatee. We're wearing some kind of mid-70s medallion.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk a lot about your feelings. And B.F. Skinner, probably.
Pavlov's dog, you know, the whole thing, yeah. But seriously, the reading that I've been doing this week on this, toddlers have no concept of anything other than their id.
Yes.
You know, here's what I want right now.
Yes.
And you don't, as a mother or a caregiver.
And a patriot.
A mother and a patriot.
Mm-hmm.
You don't reason with them.
No.
You don't try to figure out, well, you know, Johnny, if you'll just calm down and use your words and rationally think through what you just did when you threw that toy. No, because they don't get that. And these Republican debaters last night were just toddlers.
Yeah.
Not the thing that amazed me, Driftglass, and we're just jumping right into it now.
Yeah.
Using the criticism of the debate to argue for more substantive questions.
Uh-huh. Because these people are all about the substance, Blue.
They're all about...
I don't know what substance, but...
But look, if you're going to talk about substance, if we're really going to talk about substance here, they're... platform is repeal Obamacare, defund Planned Parenthood, shut down government, tax cuts for billionaires, everybody retire at 70 or more. World War III, repeal the EPA, ban the EPA.
Big wall.
Big wall. Kick out 11 million people.
Right.
And
on day two.
Freedom. Freedom.
And on the second day of my presidency.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's their platform. And what's your problem there, Blue Gal?
Yeah, yeah. And I better have the biggest green room.
Mm-hmm.
And it is interesting to me that Kasich is trying to differentiate himself by saying no one's going to vote for that.
Right.
honey, that ship has sailed.
Oh, God. What? You know, you are...
You're 25 years too late, dude. Yeah.
You're what we call now a crypto-commie liberal for pointing out the obvious fact the Republican Party is
insane. And a colossal hypocrite.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah. No one has done more to screw women.
Yep. Not in the sense that you mean. Yes.
No, the political, medical, cultural way to absolutely wreck women, take away their health care, mess them up than John Kasich. I also like the fact that he thought that people are get hooked on the crazy jazz cigarettes. And, you know, addiction in this country is a big problem in answer to a question about pot.
And apparently he sold pot to Reagan staffers when he worked for Reagan.
Wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me in the slightest.
One of the Reagan people said, oh, you know, I fired him because he had pot for everybody.
Yeah. Hey, Kasich got to eat, man. Kasich got to get paid. You know? It was quite the predictable spectacle.
And let's face it, CNBC was completely unprepared.
Oh,
for
God,
this
yeah.
event
yeah.
in every way, way but, out of their league.
I like the fact they let Lawrence Kudlow start drinking early.
Was he drunk?
I don't know. But you know what? Let me tell you something about Steve Forbes. That man is awesome. And he has a flat tax. But you know what? He never got a dinner. And then he starts. And I don't know if he was drunk or if that's just what, as I said, late stage conservative dementia sounds like.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
I believe he probably woke up in a dumpster behind a 4 a.m. rape bar this morning. Wondering where the hell he was and where was his goddamn tax cut.
And where was it? Where's my tax cut?
Goddamn tax cut. Why does my butt hurt?
And I have to say, I was in and out, and as I usually am during Republican debates, you were sitting there watching the whole thing with a glass of scotch.
Yeah, grimly.
I was getting kids to bed
and
in the shower and grounding some of them. And it was
you got the better end of that bargain. I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I vlogged. I did not watch the undercard.
No, you were busy shopping for costumes for youngest child, which we'll talk about in Science Fiction University.
Yeah.
But so I was in and out. But before you got home from the costume shopping, I made sure to have the undercard on so I could at least tell you sort of what happened.
Yeah.
And I was still making dinner and so forth. So, I was in and out. But at least I had it on. And I immediately just hated everyone on that network.
Oh, God, yeah.
They are so in bed with corporate capitalism mm-hmm. on that network of, you know, the Fed is going to keep money cheap. And is that going to be good for business? Because that's really what we need to know. Is it good for corporations? Is it good for the stock market? And every time and I said this to you during the debate, every time anyone on that network, anyone during that debate, anyone anywhere on that TV set said a pronoun.
Mm-hmm.
It referred to white moneyed class.
Oh, God, yeah, that's their audience.
Every single time. And I realize this was an economic debate. I'm not trying to say, oh, they didn't talk about X, Y, and Z. I realize that this was supposed to be about the economy, which, of course, they can't really talk about.
It was about tax cuts.
Because that is what an economic debate is to them. That's what economic policy is tax cuts for billionaires.
Mm-hmm. And loans
and cut Social Security
and Donald Trump
economic plan.
And Donald Trump, when asked about the insanity of his tax plan, says Lawrence Kudlow on this network loves my tax plan. And there's Kudlow over there,
and one's allowed to say, but he's drunk and crazy and demented.
No, Lawrence Kudlow, a genius, who's over there drinking, you know, bathtub gin out of a shoe, thinks my tax plan is fucking awesome. Trump out. And that was it.
It cuts his taxes. So, yeah.
Oh, it was definitely about tax cuts. And it was, I mean, they had Rick Santelli on there.
Well, it was also about cutting Medicaid and we're just going to make disease go away, says Huckabee, and that'll take care of all.
Yeah, you know what would be awesome? You know what would be an awesome way to cut Medicare? If we cured all diseases. Why didn't Obama do that? Huh? Huh? Answer me that.
Well, he couldn't harvest enough baby parts to do that. Yeah. That's why.
Well, when you saw Jim Cramer and Rick Santelli
oh my
given
God.
being given the microphone to ask questions at the grown-up debate. You know, Rick Santelli was available. Apparently, they called him because Dick Armey was getting drunk with Lawrence Kudlow in the alley behind the 4 a.m. rave bar. And Rick Santelli, oh my God. And so from the very beginning, it was the moderators had no idea how to deal with this bunch of yahoos.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And here's my issue with that. The entire overarching Republican message was that Hillary Clinton is a lying bitch who killed 4 people in Benghazi, probably killed Vince Foster. And the entire political system has been rigged by the liberal media, like these people who were moderating this debate, who are all in on the liberal media conspiracy, which is why their questions suck and they hate us. They're out to get you. So they bum-rushed the panel. Now, the fact that John Harwood and the rest of them were kind of shocked by the fact that they were using a tactic as old as Nixon to attack the media, attack the secret liberal control of the media, yell really loud and just overtalk people completely caught them by surprise.
Yeah.
But the flip side of that is the panel, the moderators were occasionally terrible. I mean,
really terrible.
I agree with Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
The questions they were asking were stupid. They were deliberately designed to sort of poke a stick at an anthill, which is exactly what they were trying to do. The only narrative they have is fight, 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 fight.
Yep.
So they try to pick a fight between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders at every opportunity. And they try to pick a fight between between and among the Republicans. And they didn't need to because they were doing a fine job among themselves. But they learned, I mean, if nothing else, the wingnuts on the stage figured out how to make the wingnuts in the audience cheer by attacking the moderator and attacking the entire process as illegitimate. And it worked.
Yeah.
Great. And what the result was that
And Carly Fiorina got her way and more time by simply blinking hard at John Harwood.
Right.
And, oh, okay, go ahead.
And just talking right over him.
Yeah.
Just talking right over him.
Whenever she wants.
And
and
which underscores the larger narrative that we talk about on this podcast every week, which is that the Beltway media is completely incapable of coping with liars, loud serial liars. They can't do it. They don't know what to say. The friggin' perfect distillation of this process. I don't want to take away from the sort of the details of the debate because there's lots of sort of juicy craziness in there.
Oh,
but the morning after, when Joe Scarborough was berating Marco Rubio for lying, which is all kinds of funny. You know, the fact that the worst liar on MSNBC is taking umbrage with the fact that one of the worst liars in the Republican Party running for office is lying is in and of itself a beautiful thing. But the fact that he's essentially pointing his finger at Chuck Todd saying, but Marco Rubio lied. And Chuck Todd, who was shitting himself.
Oh, yeah. He looked so nervous.
His whole job, really, and this is why he is an absolute – he's the worst whore of the bunch. He's absolutely incompetent at the job I want him to do. But he's absolutely wonderful at the job that NBC wants him to do, which is to pretend that nobody's lying and everyone is equally
– Everyone's awesome. Everyone on the Republican side is awesome because
his
number one job is to get those Fox News viewers to watch him.
Exactly.
That's his number one
job. And his number one way of doing that. And he said this on the air. He's hinted at it. He said it. He has talked about it during an interview was don't push too hard.
Yeah.
Don't call them on their stuff. And his answer is always that sort of weak, cowardly, lazy bullshit that I'm sure is what gets him to sleep at night, which is, well, the audience is smart. The audience will figure it out. But his response to Joe Scarborough, of all people, saying, here's the bill of particulars. Here's the question that was asked, and Marco Rubio just lied about it, which he did. Marco Rubio is a genuinely great liar. He's Carly Fiorina, great liar. He just looks at the camera, he lies and lies and lies and lies and lies, and then talks about his mommy and his dry cleaner, and he gets away clean.
And the point that Micah and Joe were trying to make is, where were the moderators?
Right. And
why didn't they stop it at that moment, say, you're just factually incorrect? And Chuck Todd was willing to say that the moderator was factually incorrect, and Marco Rubio was factually incorrect, but he wasn't willing to say liar. He was not willing to go and be impolite to somebody who might be on his show and would say no if he was rude.
His response was, Well, it depends on what you mean by lying.
What do you mean?
It depends. It depends on what you mean by lying.
Well, and then he tweeted. Chuck Todd tweeted. I'll read his tweet if you don't mind.
Sure.
Rubio is easily the best deflector on this debate stage. Right. Weaves personal narrative exceedingly well.
Sure, because I want him.
And I said, behold. The process of sucking substance from somewhere by creating a space without air that it can flow into.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is the definition of suction.
Yeah. And vacuum.
Vacuum.
And it is, but that's his job.
Yeah.
That's the job that that was David Gregory's job before him. And let's face it, that was most of Tim Russert's job before that. It is to not call the lying sociopaths on the right on their lies. He won't do it. And it's because he is a coward. Chuck Todd is a political coward. He depends entirely on getting people on his show that conservatives will watch. And the only way to do that, because they figured out all they need to do is boycott him. All they need to do is say no. Yep. He needs them more than they need him.
Absolutely.
Is to just insist that he not call them on their lies. And the thing about that interaction that made it, again, especially hilarious was – picking one liar out of the entire field kind of like, really? Because that is really nuking fish in a barrel. I mean, it was just nonstop bullshit. It was and it was sort of perfect as from our point of view, from this podcast's point of view, in that it demonstrates why it is completely useless to try to debate conservatives on the basis of objectively observable reality, because they just reject it. According to Carly Fiorina, for her entire career, Hillary Clinton, every single thing Hillary Clinton has ever done has been to hurt women.
Yep.
Period.
DriftClass, I am drinking coffee right now out of my Bernie Sanders 2016 coffee mug.
Yes.
But I did want to compliment Hillary Clinton on having a very good night last night. Her texts were more substantive than this debate. Her texts responding. Her ad that ran during the debate had more time discussing climate change than the total of the entire 2 hours of the debate.
Mm-hmm.
one of my favorite tweets of the night, in addition to Patton Oswalt's closing statements, which you just have to go read. They're so wonderful. The Clinton campaign has a Twitter stream called The Briefing, which is basically the truth squad. They correct the record when someone lies about Hillary Clinton's record. But they were responding to the debate last night, and when Ted Cruz brought up the gold standard, The Briefing tweeted, honestly, we don't have anything ready about the gold standard.
And Rand,
we're caught unawares on this one. We thought this was all gone.
And Rand Paul started crying, saying, but it's my only line.
And Ted Cruz done stole it.
Done stole it. Well, I mean, I'm very glad that the Clintons learned from the first Clinton administration, the war room, the rapid response room, because it really is important. But
yes, it is.
If you took the entire Hillary Clinton, the Pillory Clinton committee, all 11 hours of it, and you distilled it down to some basic facts, it was the Republican Party, the leaders of the party, the people appointed to persecute this woman publicly, showed themselves to be craven lying assholes who were absolutely in this to try to wreck her candidacy, and that she repeatedly humiliated them on air for 11 straight hours and really never broke sweat. It was absolutely clear and clear cut. It was so bad that Fox News cut away in the middle of it because she was beating them like rented mules.
Yep. So, and she's not going to have any problem with debating Marco Rubio.
Well, here's the thing.
And neither will Bernie Sanders. I mean, I am not saying that the Democratic nomination is a foregone conclusion. I do not believe that.
Nope.
I would like you to comment, DriftGlass, if you would, on the Twitter war between Reince Priebus and Michelle Malkin.
Well, I will do that. But I would like to point out that the entire Hillary Clinton hearing, which was the 35th Benghazi hearing in a row where Republicans have been humiliated, has in no way penetrated at all on the right.
No.
At all. No. It never happened.
That's she lied.
Yeah. She got away with it, and the liberals on the panel helped her get away with it. That was Rubio's bottom line. Yep. She lied. People died in Benghazi because of her. And the Democrats on the panel couldn't be troubled to do any investigating at all because they're all in it together. Liberal, commie, dirty media, Bolsheviks, Mensheviks. And every time the wingnuts on the stage said something outrageously untrue and completely ridiculous, the meatbags in the audience applauded.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's who they're going for. This entire circus isn't for us, Blue Gal.
Oh, no, absolutely.
It's for them. And so but it's a wonderful way of looking into their psyche, seeing how they think. And the whole Benghazi thing that you and I watched and saw absolutely clear cut, this is the outcome. How could anybody in their right mind think otherwise? Yeah. Doesn't even penetrate. It isn't even on their radar because it didn't come up on Fox News because Rush Limbaugh hasn't digested it and shitted it into their skulls yet. Therefore, it doesn't happen. It never existed. Hillary Clinton's a liar. And Mike Huckabee's greatest qualification for office is that he's been fighting Clintons in Arkansas 20 years, and he's lived to tell about it. Because unlike Vince Foster, who she murdered, Mike Huckabee is clever enough not to be murdered by the Clintons, which everyone knows happened. And so that's the parody of politics that took place. And it would have been great if either the candidates were good or the moderators were good, but they both sucked. So they both deserve each other, and that's the state of our politics now, that our media is broken and the Republican Party is insane. And here we are on the left going, yes, we secretly control the media. So back to Reince.
And Mark S. on Twitter said that he was convinced that he could get at least 10% of the GOP vote just wearing an oversized flag pin and pointing to it as your answer to everything.
Oh, it was.
So, let's get back. I want to talk about the Reince versus Michelle Malkin.
Yeah, over who's the dick.
You know, look in the mirror, Reince. It's all your fault.
Mm-hmm.
Who did it?
Well, first of all, I don't know how the GOP could be unhappy with a debate where they just stomped all over the moderators and talked about whatever the hell they wanted to talk about.
And Red State thinks that Ted Cruz had a great night.
He did. So... he did. Had a great night. Everybody had a great – you know who didn't have a great night?
Hillary Clinton.
Fredo had a very bad night. Jeb is not having a good morning.
Jeb wants to be home.
Right.
For spring break 2016 with his family, wants to be on the beach.
Mm.
He doesn't want to be president. There's nothing more to say.
He doesn't want to run for president.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to put up
to
all
be given to him.
Yeah. I don't want to put up with all this bullshit. He wants what Mitt Romney had, which was I will glide through the process. Everybody will rise and fall around me, and eventually everyone in the party will go, shit, it's 2 a.m. I gotta go home and fuck somebody. Might as well be that guy.
Yeah.
I have all the money in the world. But what Jeb didn't notice is that each election cycle, the craziers climb higher up the cliff and they get closer and closer to actually being contenders in his party. That's, again, the thing that struck me as hilarious was the moderators appeared not to understand the Republican Party and how it's been for the last 30 years. Caught them by surprise. Jeb is shocked that his party is full of Republicans. again, and over and over again. I mean, Michael Gerson is shocked that his party is full of Republicans. Michael Gerson, former Bush speechwriter. Yeah. So it goes – the people who live in that bubble really – I'm convinced now – really do not understand their party.
I don't think they understand the mindset – of a typical Rush Limbaugh drudge consumer.
They understand that they
don't understand the person that consumes that product and thinks it's good.
Their job is to be a worker bee, to come to the hive, deposit your honey, and leave. Mm-hmm. And the worker bees have turned on the queen.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to cope with that because the worker bees are supposed to shut up, get angried up by Rush Limbaugh on Fox News and then deliver
and then
on election day.
Vote and that's it.
And they're not doing that anymore. And the party elite really don't know how to cope with it because it's something they've been pretending isn't true for so long. They have no narrative for how to explain the existence of Ted Cruz.
Right.
Anyway.
Or Ben Carson. And by the way, you know, Ben Carson, he disappointed some of his followers last night.
Doing math? Because
they had a group of people from Utah on after the debate,
uh-huh,
who had watched the debate together, And before the debate, there were 5 Ben Carson supporters. And after the debate, there were 2 Ben Carson supporters.
Oh, where did they go?
And the 3 that changed their minds all really, really like Carly Fiorina now.
Jesus Christ.
So, you know, because, you know, she really gave the good answers. So that's the world that they live in. And
I mean, they were asking candidates simple math questions.
Yeah.
If you cut taxes by X, you will increase the deficit by Y. That won't happen because Jesus loves me and so does Reagan. And taxes are like Bibles and tithes, and it'll work out. And Ben Carson's answer was the same as every other idiot down the line, which is, I'm going to cut a bunch of departments that do stuff I don't understand because I'm sure they waste a lot of money and it'll work out fine, which is Donald Trump's answer, which is a longer version of, I'll get rid of the government and replace it with something awesome.
And World War III won't cost us anything. It'll pay for itself just like it did in Iraq.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, all of the Carly Fiorina really did come through with the calendar question, which was the tremendous amount of job loss that happened during Barack Obama's first term. First term.
And as Wonkette said, proving that she does not understand linear time.
Yeah, does not understand linear time at all. Like, wait a minute. Actually, I think I said that.
Oh, did you say that?
I think that's
that was you. Yeah, that was you in your fabulous live blog.
But comparing me to Wonkette is very high praise indeed. I gotta say. And it
we
was.
We read a lot of blogs last night, Driftglass. I can't help it.
And nobody raised their hand and said, are you referring to the Bush recession? Because that guy down the stage there from you is that guy's brother. So maybe you should ask him a question about
it. Ask him about it.
Ask about his brother nuking the economy and then slinking out of town. You're leaving a burning bag of dog shit the size of the planet.
Well, not really abandoning his role as president of the United States once things started to fall apart.
Right.
I mean, if you remember 2008, President-elect Obama was the person who got everybody together at the White House.
And President-elect McCain sat in the corner looking sullen.
Sitting president, George W. Bush, when asked, what are you going to do about the auto company? I haven't figured that out yet.
I don't know. I'm out of here like 2 days.
And I understand the emotional stress he must have felt and, that his entire legacy caving before him. But he just checked out. He checked out in November.
Well, and of course, the reason you and I have this conversation, but nobody on the debate stage did and nobody ever will.
Because we have that part of our brain that has a memory.
Yes, because there was a president before 2009 related by blood to the guy who is now running for that office.
Exactly.
And he has a record and his record is public and you can just look it up. And we don't because apparently, as we learned from how dare you call my brother responsible for – how dare you mention that my brother was president when 9/11 happened? Mm-hmm. That's a scandal. Mentioning, again, how calendar and linear times work is a scandal because the right has lobotomized itself. They don't remember anything they don't want to remember. And it is complete heresy to bring that shit up. That's why Trump is such a breath of weirdly fresh air. He talks about shit that Republicans don't want to talk about. And it's kind of bizarrely, it's like a mint-covered grenade. You know, it's refreshing, but it's going to kill you. But it really is kind of oddly interesting to watch him walk around the stage and talk about the shit that everyone has sworn a blood oath never to talk about because it's going to make him look like the morons and criminals they are. Anyway,
it is time for the triumphant return of Bible Bitch.
It is.
Bible Bitch.
That's not scriptural. High time. Thank you, everyone who's written in and said I miss Bible Bitch. And she took a break, but she's back. And we are going to read from The Message, which is the Bible in modern English.
Hippie.
Translation. Read hippie. Yeah. I'm going to read some passages from Proverbs 26, and this is very much related to the debate. I just thought this was appropriate. We no more give honors to fools than pray for snow in summer or rain during harvest. Don't respond to the stupidity of a fool. You'll only look foolish yourself. As a dog eats its own vomit, so fools recycle silliness. Malice backfires. Spite boomerangs. And people who shrug off deliberate deceptions, saying, "I didn't mean it, I was only joking," are worse than careless campers who walk away from smoldering campfires.
Ooh, very good.
Amen.
Yeah. I disagree with the assumption that you can just ignore these people away.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Don't let it get inside your gut.
Right.
Don't let the fish hook come back and catch you.
Right.
And if you need to take a break from this,
yeah,
or if you're watching the CNBC debate and you start to feel your blood pressure, yeah, rising, turn it off.
Yeah, turn it off, walk away. Turn it off, walk away for weeks. If we are getting to you.
Yeah,
take
a break.
We love you guys, but if it's bugging you, turn it off and go away.
We try to add levity to what's going on, and we try to we get so many letters and emails saying, you know, and I try to remind Drift Glass of this a lot. We get so many letters from people saying, "You are my sanity break. You are therapy. I'm sending you this check because it's cheaper than, you know, psychoanalysis and much more effective." What you say.
Don't skimp on the psychoanalysis. That's all I'm saying.
Hearing what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And Drift Glass, I know you are looking for a full-time job.
I am.
I know you really want one.
Perpetually.
And I know that it means a lot to you and your self-esteem to continue to work on that and get one.
I had one.
What you do as Drift Glass,
uh-huh,
and the work you do means a lot to a lot of people and is valuable. And I want you to know that I recognize that and a lot of other people recognize that. And that is my message to say, it's Drift Glass's birthday, send $3.
I'm sorry. I was playing DraftKings. I missed all that. I figure that's my retirement right there.
No, you don't play fantasy football.
No, I don't. No, I don't gamble in any way. I shoot pool, anyway. But it's rarely gambling when I do.
Shooting pool for you is not gambling.
It's just.
I just want to go through quickly these cognitive distortions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think it will be helpful to some of our listeners when they're thinking about or allowing perhaps their blood pressure to rise by some of the lying and distortions that you hear on the Republican side, to realize, no, this is a real thing.
These are recognized psychological conditions.
Recognized psychological thinking errors that happen
to humans
in a psyche that is not thinking the correct way.
That wants to avoid something.
Reality.
To avoid, bend, run away from, or otherwise deny what is patently true.
So this is a list of cognitive distortions. It comes from a Dr. Albers, who wrote this, Albers. All right. All or nothing thinking. Mm-hmm. You see things in only two categories.
Either elect me or the charred remains of America is what you will be walking your grandchildren through. There's no middle ground. Either Mike Huckabee becomes president or America is destroyed, period. That's from last night's debate.
Barack Obama will take down America and we'll have $5 a gallon gas, and you don't want that.
That's it. Yeah. Either I am allowed to pack as much – I'm allowed to have an armory in my basement that rivals small militaries.
Yep.
Or the jackboot of tyranny is coming to take me away to the FEMA camps. There's only two alternatives, people. Yep. There's no reasonable center at all.
My constitutional right is I get to have an army in my basement, an army's full of weapons in my basement, or it's tyranny.
Right.
Yep. All right. Negative fortune telling, which also goes along with that. You predict the future negatively without considering other possible outcomes. Death panels.
Think about all the people that Hillary Clinton has murdered. And this is just Benghazi, just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
And if she's allowed to continue the Obama legacy of destroying jobs and socialism, our country's over. It's just over. There's no way around it. We're doomed.
Emotional reasoning. You think your ideas must be true because you feel this way, even though objective evidence says otherwise.
You know, I'm just saying, Magic Reagan, I saw him in the mirror last night and he told me Jesus loves me and everything's going to be great if we just cut taxes and so forth. It'll be awesome. That's Ben Carson. I mean, Ben Carson really, I don't know what Ben Carson's on. I mean, maybe it's the altitude and all the pot and the fact that he's nuts, but this is just truthiness. This is just, you know, Stephen Colbert's truthiness. It feels like I'm telling the truth. Well, and
paying taxes is tyranny, and tax cuts will grow the economy. So, therefore, I feel that all of that is logically true, so it must be.
Well, that's Lawrence Kudlow, drunk off his ass. Estate taxes are basically middle-class tax cuts, which will pay for themselves.
No.
Trump 216.
They're Kardashian taxes that Thomas Jefferson really insisted upon to prevent an aristocracy in America.
Shut up, commie. So, what's next?
Mind reading.
Yeah.
You're sure of what others are thinking, even in the absence of compelling data.
Let me tell you about liberals. All liberals everywhere hate this world. And the greatest killer of humans on the planet ever has been big government. It's just true. And let me tell you how liberals think. Rush Limbaugh has made a career out of telling the meatbags what liberals are really thinking. And what they really want. And here's what I've told people on this podcast before and I've written before. And I think it's quite true, or I wouldn't be saying it. Conservatives' understanding of liberals is based on listening to Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
Liberals' understanding of conservatives is based on listening to Rush Limbaugh. Because we listen to actual conservatives and what they say and what they do and what their positions are, what their record is. And we base our judgment based on the actual activities of real conservatives who command large audiences and big sections and government power and control policy. Conservatives' impressions of liberals is based entirely on a bloated, racist asshole telling people spooky scare stories about the dirty hippies who live under their beds.
Mm-hmm.
And that is – and there's no way to communicate between these two groups of people, because by the fact that you are a liberal – you are, by definition, a sneaky commie liar who's out to kill me and steal my guns and make my kids gay. So I can't listen to anything you have to say, even if it's just basic math. So, continuing.
All right. Here's another one. Self-deluding thinking.
Oh.
You rationalize by telling yourself things you don't really believe at other times. Five unelected judges.
Five unelected judges. Finish this sentence. Five unelected black-robed lawyers. Appointed George Bush to the White House? Shut up.
Yeah. unhelpful rules. You mandate actions without taking circumstances into consideration.
You know, Blue Gal, the reason I can't hear you is your tone. You know, this is what liberals do all the time. They go out ad hominem and they use words like fuck. And I won't listen to that. The fact that your underlying argument completely obliterates my point of view and makes me look like the mewling idiot that I am is irrelevant, because you're a racist, because all liberals are really – they're the real racists. That's just a rule. Everyone knows that. And by the way, tolerance is supposed to be what you're all about. How dare you not tolerate my bullshit and lies and racism?
Yep.
So I can't listen to you. La, 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 la.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. We have two more.
Okay.
Justification.
Oh, jeez.
you link – two completely unrelated concepts to justify your position.
Well, you know, Republicans ended slavery. Therefore, Republicans are the real party of civil rights. If you ignore the fact that the entire history of the century between these two statements, everything I said is true. Liberals are the real racists. I mean, just look at Jesse Helms.
What? Wait.
Yeah. I'm sorry. What? You know, liberals.
You do realize Strom Thurmond. Switched parties.
Yeah, that after he stopped being a racist, he became a Republican.
No.
Well, that's what Nick Searcy told me on the Twitter, and he's a big-time Hollywood conservative actor star person. So it must be true. It is this – you really only have to hang out in the Alec Jones right-wing power line chat room for about 10 seconds or anywhere in the Breitbart universe for 10 seconds to find out that liberals personally loved Stalin – and only faulted Stalin for not murdering more people, because atheist liberals love killing people because that's what we do, because we love government and government's only job is to kill freedom-loving people throughout the world. Boom. Deal with that. Deal with that. I dropped some truth on you. Now I'm going to go turn Rush back on because he has the afternoon updates and the crop reports.
Finally, exaggerated thinking. You make a situation seem greater, bigger, worse, mm-hmm. or more large, or whatever. You exaggerate and make it more, better, worse than it really is.
Yeah.
Ted Cruz had a very, very good night.
Uh-huh. He did. You know, I can safely say that Hillary Clinton has done nothing but try to hurt and kill women her entire career. Every single thing she's done. Every single regulation is bad. Every single thing government does is wicked and incompetent and insane. Every single tax is confiscatory. Every single liberal is a secret criminal or a dupe of a vast international conspiracy to turn our country over to, I don't know, whoever the bad guy is this week. And it's just, it never stops. It never stops with these people. And the only way to stop it is, I'll say it again for the umpteenth time, is to burn the center down. You can't get at these people, but you can make Chuck Todd's life unbearable if you are willing to confront him on the street in a verbal way. And you know, make sure he knows in no uncertain terms that although he's a hero in the Beltway to his craven little friends, everyone else is laughing at him because he's such an obviously weaselly little fuck, and that we're on to him. We get it. I don't know how to manifest that self beyond repeating it every so often and urging people to write, call, and if you live in the Washington, D.C. area, make sure if you see Chuck on the street, walk up and go, you know, Chuck, you're the problem. Here's the problem. You're the problem. If he's in a lecture, ask him a question. That's the only way I can see that this curve gets bent in our direction. But part of the thing that gives me hope is even Republicans, who are not really Republicans anymore, they're rhinos, of course, Michael Gerson and David Brooks and
a lot of people at Red State, I must say,
are starting to snap.
Yeah.
Are really starting to go, wait a minute. Yeah. No,
Ben Carson is dangerous. There are people at Red State saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And these people scamper back to the loving arms of both siderism after they say these things, of course.
Because Bernie Sanders on the left.
Yeah.
It's balanced.
Because someone calls them up and reminds them, if you'd like to pay your mortgage next month, you'll shut the fuck up about Republicans being the problem and get back on the both siderist machine, or else we'll go find some other former Bush speechwriter and we'll give him your job. But there are moments that are manifesting themselves more and more often when conservatives and Republicans who are more towards the center than others, even Kasich, are saying, wait a minute. Now, they will not talk about how we got here. They won't talk about their own history. They won't talk about their complicity. They won't talk about the fact that they have enabled this every fucking step of the way. But they will look at the freak show that out terrifies anything I saw in the costume shop with youngest child yesterday and say, this has gone too far. I'm sorry, but these people are crazy. And all I can say to those people is welcome to Liberalville.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will reserve my commentary on Columbia Journalism Review's retrospective on the spiritual growth of David Brooks for next week, because I really don't want to talk about that right now.
No. Well, just writing an article about David Brooks and not including any criticism of David Brooks at all.
They did include one or two quotes by Matt Taibbi, the mildest possible quote they could find from a guy who has written that David Brooks seems like a kind of guy who would go out and hire a hooker who looks like Leona Helmsley to shit on his back.
And they left that part out.
They didn't mention that part. They found the mildest possible criticism. I will tell you this. I was surprised to learn that David Brooks's career began around 2009, 2010.
Oh, yeah.
Before that, he did a bunch of stuff and he wrote
US
things.
That's when U.S. history began, Drickland.
Yeah. So. He wrote some stuff and he wrote about, quote unquote, politics before then. And now he writes about spiritualism and morality. And I have many things to say on the subject. But Columbia Journalism Review is not interested in anybody who has anything to say about David Brooks simply changing his scam from bashing liberals to bashing both sides, because that's where the money is. The essential hollowness of David Brooks's life and career and is a subject which I've covered ad nauseum for the last 10 years. But a couple of people did email me and tweet that, it's weird that you didn't talk to Driftglass about David Brooks, because you're doing a retrospective on the spiritual evolution of David Brooks, and you really ought to talk to anybody other than his friends and mentors and colleagues and buddies who might have something to say about him. And, of course, that isn't the point. The point is never, ever to talk about the reality of the situation. The point is to protect the narrative.
Yep.
The narrative is this is a reasonable, spiritually evolving person who doesn't hurt people, who's very thoughtful, and he's a great thinker, and now he's thinking about more things spiritual that are deeper, and let's talk about that. That's the narrative. That's the both-siderist narrative. That's the let's rise above politics now that my political party has gone insane. That's the narrative. And we cannot contradict, or in any way negate the narrative without nuking the entire scam that all of us are profiting from. So anyway, that's next week.
I think you said it best. Hey, I want to state one thing for the record before we go.
Crap.
And I want this to be on the record that I said this.
There's a record?
I'm going to make this a record because I want to be on record as saying what I'm about to say.
All right.
Marco Rubio is the Dan Quayle of 2016. And I don't care how much the Beltway wants to prop him up as their savior from Trump and Carson and all these outsider candidates and all this outsiderism.
Mm-hmm.
He is the dream candidate for the Democrats to be opposing.
Yep.
I mean, just the dream would be to have someone as incompetent as Rubio.
Mm-hmm.
My 11-year-old could tell you that you don't resign from the Senate when you're running for president.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just, it's beyond belief how dim-witted I don't want to be personally insulting. I'm sure the guy loves his kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm sure his kids love him. But he is not intelligent enough to run against either Sanders or Clinton.
Or O'Malley, frankly. Or
O'Malley, yeah.
Or anybody.
Well,
yeah.
Well, I don't know about Lincoln Chafee.
Yeah, I know.
I can't conceive of that. So
Lincoln Chafee's gone now. He's gone to a better place.
So, yeah.
He's gone upstate to a farm to play with other candidates. Don't worry about him. He's fine.
I know we quoted Vegas Jesse last week, but again, she's in the email and she says the Beltway. Rubio is their Obi-Wan. He's their only hope.
Well,
I do love that.
Funny you should say that, because his encounter with Jeb was Obi-Wan.
I am your father. Obi-
no, no, no. It was
no.
Now I am the master. You know, the circle is complete, Obi-Wan. When I left you, I was the learner. Now I am the master. Only a master of evil, Marco.
Yeah.
And no, he really just ran a sword through his mentor.
He did.
Who was calling him out in his listless, kind of dreary, I really don't want to be here way for things that were legitimate. And Marco Rubio used the secret weapon that no one saw coming, which was just fucking lying about it.
Yeah.
And that works really well on the Republican stage. It works great with the moderators. We'll see how well it works when you have to actually face off against someone who's not in on the scam with you.
Yeah. All right. Happy birthday, Driftglass.
Thanks.
Everyone, go over to driftglass.blogspot.com. He has a birthday fundraiser, and you want to thank everybody who's donated so far?
I will, and I have. It's been coming in spikes and valleys. It's going just fine. I don't have any financial goal. I never have a financial goal. I'm just really grateful that people think enough of my writing over these years to kick in from time to time when I put out the tip jar and run a fundraiser. It's entirely voluntary. Like I said, I don't run ads. I don't put up a paywall. I don't believe you should pay writers because you feel sorry for them or because you think, oh, you know, he's got to get those pair. He's got to get those Jordans. You know? He really needs those Jordans. Or because we have a hole in the roof. You shouldn't pay someone because they're needy necessarily. If I have a skill set that you respect and you like what I write and you think it's competent and well done, I think there's nothing dishonorable about saying, great, here's a tip jar, pay me what you can because it's a job I'm doing and I think I do it pretty well. And that's what I'm doing this week.
The laborer is worthy of his hire, says the Bible.
Exactly.
So that is, you are valuable to me, and I think you're valuable to lots of people. And
don't
appreciate you. Happy birthday.
Don't bind the kind that treads the grain, Blue Gal.
Boom! Boom! He just landed that one. Yeah. All right. Hey, each week we post to our Facebook page and website an Internet Kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's Internet Kitty is Remedy. Remedy is the shop cat at North Division Bicycle Shop in Spokane, Washington. And therefore, Remedy already has some Internet Kitty experience. He's on their website.
Ooh.
Remedy knows the bike you need ahead of time.
What a gift.
You walk in, oh, yeah, I got your bike right here. It's over here. Mm. You know, so he'll sell you a bike.
I love bike shops like that, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. We're very glad to have Remedy as a guest on our website and Facebook page this week.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for being there, Remedy. You can send your Internet Kitty to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, or you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We do love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service, Go Postal Unions, letter on the air unless you say otherwise. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, and you know, I hate to say it, but pumpkin spice latte season is fast closing.
Yeah.
So if you bought yourself a latte, and as the weather gets colder, think about us and contribute the cost of a latte to our podcast. Don't forget our Amazon link at our website. You can click on that and then bookmark it for your future Christmas planning or holiday shopping.
Mm-hmm.
We believe in buying local. And I actually had to go on Amazon this week because the local stores did not have the special light bulb that this one outlet in the house needs. It drives me insane.
Your Easy Bake Oven, isn't it, Blue Gal?
Oh, it's this thing, and it needs a bulb that is like type something T-whatever. But,
yep.
And I went to the locally owned hardware store and checked to see if they had it.
Yep.
And if they carried it, and they don't. So I typed it in to Amazon, and sure enough, I could get a box of five for $7, you know, and free shipping, and I got it.
Yep.
So,
yep.
But we do believe in buying local, but we also believe in shopping Amazon with our link if your alternative is going without something you need,
mm-hmm.
or you're a big box store, which is not contributing to your local economy. Go to Amazon, shop with our link. We get a percentage of that, and it makes a huge difference to our budget, and we so appreciate it. And it doesn't cost you nothing.
Right. Don't cost nothing.
Don't cost nothing. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a paid contribution, and you can too. See our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, for details. Both our PayPal and postal address information is there at professionalleft.blogspot.com. Please rate our show on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, and thank you for doing that. Hey, Driftglass, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
Well, Blue Gal, the Internet Kitties have decided not to join the George Pataki search and rescue team after all.
Let's think about living. Let's think about loving. Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey-dovey. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with a switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
Professional Left Podcast is recorded under Creative Commons license. Copyright 2015, Driftglass Blue Gal Podcast.
Minecraft is awesome. Now it's time for Science Fiction University with our science fiction expert, Driftglass.
Happy Halloween this weekend. Science Fiction University with Dog-Faced Herman. We've been saving this one, Driftglass.
Yes, we have.
Here's a collection of Halloween episodes from The Simpsons. And fair use, please don't delete. We are. The trick on these very short clips is to guess what movie or TV show they are parodying.
Uh huh.
And Dogface Herman says, yeah, I just wanted to put together a bunch of Simpsons clips. So here you go.
All right.
All right, number one.
Some of us were merely horribly mutated.
You're mutants?
We don't like the word mutants, Homer. We prefer freaks or monsters.
We're creating a new perfect society in which the mistakes of the past will be eliminated.
Oh, come on. That's the Omega Man.
Yeah. That's... they are parodying the Omega Man.
Charlton Heston in one of the many makes or remakes of I Am Legion. And a wonderful science fiction book. And I believe this is the episode where... is this where Homer kills the Edgar Winter group? I think it is. I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure it is.
All right.
Can't be sure. Anyway, the Omega Man was also the first, I believe, on-screen, large-screen interracial kiss.
Ooh, there you go. Charles Heston. That's right.
Chuck Heston, back when Chuck Heston was Bruce Willis.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, how about number two?
I'm Krusty the Clown, and I don't like you. I'm Krusty the Clown, and I'm going to kill you.
Didn't even pull the string that time.
This could be one of two possible things. One is everybody knows, which I've never seen, actually, because I hated the whole idea of Chucky. Yeah. Chucky, Bride of Chucky. Chucky goes to college. Chucky has an illegitimate child.
Okay, this isn't Chucky. I'll just let you know this isn't Chucky.
Okay. So the other alternative is a fairly obscure Twilight Zone episode with Telly Savalas.
You're just terrible. You know that?
Yeah, you're right.
That's what it is.
Now, you could also say, you could also theoretically go with Karen Black in Trilogy of Terror.
Okay, stop.
Where there was a killer doll.
You were right the first time.
Oh, okay. Yay! But, yeah, I'm just going to nerd out on this because it's my birthday. Deal with it, people. It's my birthday. This is what I do for fun on my birthday.
Yeah, you nerd out. Uh-huh. This is the Living Doll Twilight Zone episode. So, starring Telly Savalas.
Starring Kojak. So, Kojak. Yes.
And he didn't have any hair in this one either.
Telly Savalas has never had hair.
He was born hairless and stayed hairless. Right, yeah. Okay. All right, how about number three?
Well, look at the wonders of the computer age now.
Wonders, Lisa, or blunders?
I think that was implied by what I said.
Implied, Lisa, or implode?
Mom, make him stop.
Yeah, I don't have any idea. I do not know.
This one is Maximum Overdrive.
Oh, okay.
Computer thingy. Okay, try this one, number four.
Look, Smithers, a twitch. It's moving. It's alive. Oh, that fellow at Radio Shack said I was mad. Well, who's mad now?
Oh, Frankenstein. Come on.
Yeah, we saw this one. This has been on, they're doing, you recently. Know, Simpsons marathons on XF or FX or FXX or something. Yeah, so we saw this one. That was Smithers and...
and Homer.
And Homer. And it really was not only Frankenstein, but young Frankenstein. Both shows you how perfect young Frankenstein was.
Oh, yeah. Well, the other day, we were flipping past, and they were rerunning the Raven.
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
Oh, amazing.
I mean, they did the whole thing. They did the whole poem, did it exactly right, and it was just a thing of beauty.
All right, number five.
Look at the bus. I was right, I tell you. I was right.
Right or wrong, your behavior was still disruptive, young man. Perhaps spending the remainder of your life in a madhouse will teach you some manners.
Dodging death and living to tell about it sounds like one of those movies where the teens are almost killed and then they realize death is stalking them all this time.
No, it's actually another Twilight Zone. This is Nightmare at 20,000 Feet.
Oh, okay. That makes perfect sense.
Bart on the bus. Yeah.
Makes perfect sense. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Number six.
$2 and it only transports matter. I'll give you 35 cents.
Solved.
Oh, this is either The Fly or the remake of The Fly or the second Fly movie.
This is The Fly, yes. Yeah. All right.
Is this the Jeff Goldblum Fly? Or is this the Vincent Price Fly?
Number seven.
Minimals, invertebrates,
You must fight back against the one who did this to you.
Yar, the half-man, half-gorilla speaks the truth.
H.G. Wells. The Island of Dr. Moreau.
That is correct.
Originally starring, if I'm not mistaken, Bela Lugosi.
Wow.
In the movie. And then I think they remade it with Marlon Brando.
Mm-hmm.
Or some other person.
It was Marlon Brando, yeah.
Made a really bad decision. But he was working for a paycheck by that time, so good for him. Yeah, Marlon Brando.
All right, number 8.
The ball is turning into a fat, bald guy. You know what we say every time something strange happens? It's good that Bart did that. It's very good.
Oh, my favorite. Oh, this is awesome. This was a short story called It's a Good Life that was made into a Twilight Zone episode.
Mm-hmm.
With Billy Mumy.
That's right.
And Billy, who was his mother in this episode?
I know this. It was Cloris Leachman.
I know you do, because I love you. A nerd like me. It was Cloris Leachman. And it was remade in the movie, the Twilight Zone movie, which was, you know, meh, okay. Now, don't mess with it. It's a great episode. And it really is just, it's been used as a metaphor and a trope a million times.
Because he sends people out into the cornfield, right?
Well, he
doesn't like them.
I don't like you. And it's just such a wonderful idea for a story.
Mm-hmm.
That the worst brat in town is an omnipotent god.
Yep.
And makes everyone miserable.
All right, number 9.
Next week on The Simpsons.
Don't forget, Dad, tonight my class is having an all-you-can-eat spaghetti dinner.
Spaghetti.
But Homer, tonight's our reception for Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands.
Oh, I hate having two heads.
Oh, I love this movie. I love this movie so much. It was Ray Milland at the end of his career,
mm-hmm.
And Rosie Grier in The Man with Two Heads?
Yeah, The Man with Two Heads.
I think it's The Man with Two Heads.
Yeah.
It was just hilarious. It was Rosie Grier with Ray Milland sort of leaning
standing
over his shoulder.
Standing behind him. Yeah.
Talking about Dabba 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 Dabba. And I have no idea why you would do this other than, hey, you know what would be cool? They said while smoking lots of dope, I have an idea. Let's put Ray Milland's head on Rosie Grier's body.
And it'll be, you know, a racial statement.
That would be
as
awesome.
Well as, yeah. All right.
I'm driving and wondering how they manage that. But, it's a cheese ball movie. One of my favorite cheese ball movies.
All right. Number 10.
Actually, he's Homer Simpson. That's Bart. I'm Lisa.
Lisa Simpson. Oh, you're the ship's proofreader. Welcome aboard. Now, before you enter, you're going to have to make a very difficult choice. You're only allowed to take one parent with you.
Mom.
Oh, that is, When Worlds Collide.
That's When Worlds Collide. You're doing really well on these. Yeah,
yeah, it's as I recall, Belus was the name of the star or the planet, I think. Me and my friend Brad used to joke about Belus being only 3 days away or 2 days away. Yeah, I didn't watch these entirely alone when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I watched them with a small cohort of weirdos.
But the originals, not the Simpsons.
No, the originals. Episodes. Most of these are things I have watched. Saturday night eating garlic bread with a couple of goofy friends, probably, you know, blasted out of my mind on Coca-Cola.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, When Worlds Collide, a fine movie. And there's a lesson in there about greed and something else. I'm not sure what.
Okay, and finally, number 11.
Hey, Simpson, I'm feeling a mite peckish. Mind if I chew your ear?
Dad, you killed the zombie Flanders.
He was a zombie?
Well, that's not really fair, because this is all zombie movies ever
that's
made.
That's exactly what it is. His answer written down here is any zombie movie.
Yeah, this is all... yeah, sorry. No. And you know what? Actually, the Omega Man is a zombie movie.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, the zombies are, you know, talk. But it really is the world has been transformed, and the remake is much more. The zombies are much more zombies. But
yes, they are.
Yeah, yeah, it's you know, I never thought for the life of me, when I was a kid, that the zombie genre would go anywhere, because it's like The Mummy. Just walk a little faster and you'll be fine. You know, just don't wear high heels and trip, yep, and you'll be fine.
Yep.
And now zombies are everywhere. In fact, when I went out with youngest child costume shopping yesterday,
yeah,
what did we settle on?
You settled on Rick Grimes.
Rick Grimes.
The youngest daughter is going as Rick Grimes, and she didn't want to be female Rick Grimes. No. I don't know. I guess they just have to market costumes to everybody.
Sure.
So they make a female Rick Grimes sheriff thingy.
With a skirt.
The skirt.
Wearing a skirt. Well, are you in?
Yeah.
You know what?
She didn't buy
that.
Youngest child did not buy that you could go as Rick Grimes and wear a skirt. No. Like,
you know what you call someone in on The Walking Dead wearing a skirt? You call them zombie meat.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody wears pants because pants are practical.
Yep.
But yeah, we went out and it was slightly outside of my budget range.
by a factor of two, actually.
By a factor of two. But and you know, the budget was pretty small, but it was.
Yeah, I set the budget artificially small because I knew she'd go over it anyway, because she always does.
But we shopped two different places.
You did.
It was very reasonable. This is not someone who said, gimme, buy me.
No, no. She understood that she couldn't spend a lot of money on it. Yeah.
And what tipped it in for me? It's Rick.
she when she finally went over to the Walking Dead display and said, I really want to do this. Yeah. How could Driftglass say no?
No. No, come on, scar her for life like that? What sort of step-parent would I be if I denied my stepdaughter the chance to wear, to become leader of the Ricktatorship?
See?
And you know she's going to survive, right?
Oh, yeah, that's the point, isn't it?
All the other people, possibly not gonna.
Rick, center of the show. Yeah.
She's going to survive. So she'll be fine. She'll do fine.
Yeah.
I worry about oldest son wanting to dress as Shane. Because he gets it in the head in the second season or third season. So, dude, I think you want to really read ahead before you make your costume selection.
Yeah.
And nobody's going as Herschel. I'm not going to have that on my conscience.
Nope, that's it. No. Herschel. I'm Jesus. I can play tricks on you. All right. Thank you, Driftglass, and happy birthday.
Thank you. This is a wonderful present. Thank you so much. Love you, too. And thank you, Dogface Herman.
Thank you, Dogface Herman. See you next week, everybody.
Bye.